gentlemen, boys and girls, pets and creatures of every make and model, fans of entertainment, shenanigans alike, welcome back to Legends Podcast. I'm Beef.
I'm Wing.
And I'm Lobster. In the year 2000, the Coen brothers followed up their cult classic, The Big Lebowski, with a sepia-tinted, folk-forward, Homer-inspired, Depression-era road movie. Starring George Clooney, John Turturro, and Tim Blake Nelson as a trio of escaped convicts in search of lost treasure. It was the film's music that proved to be the breakout star of the show. Produced by T-Bone Burnett, the film's soundtrack won the Grammy Award for Album of the Year, and the single, Man of Constant Sorrow, won a Country Music Award and a Grammy. But is the film an odyssey or an oddity? Gentlemen, welcome back to talking about good movies.
Well, mine was an oddity because I was like, okay, I have a disc for this. I have a disc for this. So found my disc, put it in there. Do you remember at the end of the 90s, the screener that they were sending to video stores so you buy?
Sure.
It's one of those. So I had like part in black and white.
Well.
It's like, huh. Okay.
I mean, the movie's got kind of a washed-out tone to it anyway.
Yeah,
which
it's not
we
the
might,
end of the world.
Yeah. I mean, you're here for the sound, right? You watch this movie, not because of the way it looks, although it does look good. I mean, Roger Deakins was the cinematographer, always great. But I think you watch this movie for the way it sounds. Am I wrong, Beef?
There's a lot of quick dialogue, and, I mean, it's fun.
Yes.
It is. It's fun to see George Clooney like that, but I really like John Turturro and Mirror Guy. They are they are fun in this because I didn't remember that it was both of them in it as well.
Yeah,
Mirror Guy.
Yeah, have you watched Watchmen? Mirror Guy.
Okay, fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think that there was the same guy, but you're right.
Well, the name's Looking Glass.
20 years ago.
This was right around the time he was getting his brain exploded by the giant squid.
Spoilers.
Oh, sorry. Spoilers for Watchmen the comic, if you read it
in
1985.
I'm not putting a spoiler alert for that one.
Right.
For a 30-year-old bullshit.
Right.
Yeah, no.
So I want to talk about the Coen brothers, because up until a certain point, they had done crime movies. And most notably leading up to Fargo in the mid-90s. And they'd played around. They'd had John Turturro in Blood Simple. But this was them saying, okay, we did Big Lebowski, which was a stoner movie, right?
But they're all bits of like rural, like odd, I don't know, they're quirky. Mm. I mean, they're all, because they're all, none of them are really big city movies. And go on.
The pacing is what you're getting at. The pacing is different. They play around with pacing of movies. They play around with character bits. But I think the thing about this movie is they were introduced to T-Bone Burnett when they did the soundtrack for The Big Lebowski, which has a great soundtrack. Don't get me wrong. But they said, well, kind of what's your thing, right? And he's like, well, bluegrass. Have you listened to this stuff? And folk music and roots and country music. And they said, you know what? That's something we want to do. And they had never actually read The Odyssey, you know, by Homer. Not Homer Simpson, but the guy that...
No shit.
Donuts.
The other guy. The other
Homer, not Simpson.
Yeah. One of history's greatest sequels, obviously the sequel to The Iliad. But everybody's like, oh, Godfather Part 2. No, The Odyssey, right?
Aliens,
so,
jeez.
Yes.
It's not that great to read, though. It's long.
Well, it was written in a language we don't really speak anymore, and translated by people who are professors and not novelists and dramaticians. But anyway, so they loved the idea of the Odyssey. About it's about this guy and his friends trying to get home to really the woman that they love or that he loves, and they keep running into all these weirdos and weird shit happens. And they said, well, let's do that, but let's do it with the South and the 1930s. Like, if you're pitching this movie, I mean, one, you're the Coen brothers, and you were nominated for Oscars and won Oscars for Fargo, and The Big Lebowski was a huge hit. But at the same time, like, how do you pitch this movie to somebody?
You can't. That's the thing. It's exactly what you just said before. It's you are the Coen brothers. So at this point, you have the opportunity to do that. The other thing is that movie cost, like, bus fare and lunch. That was pretty much it.
This movie, yeah.
Yeah, so that was not a big investment for the studio. So it's something that you can try. And we have to remember that George Clooney at that point was at the height of his career when we're talking about Batman and Robin.
Right. So he had done Batman and Robin. He had done the movie that we talked about last year, Three Kings.
From Dusk Till Dawn.
He'd finished his run on ER. Was he making peace with Nicole Kidman around this time, too?
Yeah, I think so.
The Peacemaker, the first DreamWorks.
God, that was bad.
The first feature film released by DreamWorks Studios.
God, that was bad.
But I think you pitch this movie with the music. You play some of these songs. You bring in some of the musicians that they partner with, Ralph Stanley, Alison Krauss, Gillian Welch. Like, you bring them in and be like, hey, this is the movie, right? Like, the movie is about this music, and it's really just a vehicle to get that music in your ears, in your ear holes.
Well, yeah, you just described the musical.
Do you think this is a musical?
Yes. I would say that qualifies as a musical. Not all musicals are music. I mean, when you're talking about Wizard of Oz or something like this, it's a musical, but there's not music all the time. So it just makes it easier for people to go to it if it's not sang all along, you know?
Right. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Beef, how do you classify this movie? Is it a drama, a comedy, what?
A dramedy. I mean, I don't know. It's a comedy, I think. There's music in it. Is there like a minimum number of songs for a musical, though? I don't know. More music than normally in my stuff, but I enjoyed
it. This film led to a concert tour and then a documentary about that concert tour. And the documentary is rated higher on Rotten Tomatoes than the actual movie.
That usually works well for documentaries, because people that watch documentaries are already interested in the topic most of the time. So if you do something that's a little bit interesting, people are going to give you a thumbs up. Yeah. And Rotten Tomato works with thumbs up, thumbs down in a certain way. So
good. Other stuff that you liked in this movie?
Well, the casting, and we talked about these three people, but let's go beyond that. Look at what people looks like. Look at the quality of the acting in there. These guys know how to cast. We know that, but this is Oscar worthy for casting.
I mean, who stands out to you in the cast of odd characters that show up?
Oh my God, Pappy.
Charles Dunning, yeah.
Yeah, that just got me, right? That performance kind of got me. And, what was he?
I like that blind dude. Not the musician, but the recording guy. The guy who owned the studio.
Milton from Office Space.
Yes.
Stephen Root. Which, I mean, this is a 2000 movie. We should say that we did pick this movie because it is the 20th anniversary. And we're not going to do a year of from 20 years ago like we did, but we were coming up with like our list of what movies are celebrating an anniversary this year, and this one was kind of one that naturally came up that we wanted to talk about. Yeah, so Stephen Root as the recording at the radio station, Mr. Lund.
John Goodman is always a good...
Yeah, obviously John Goodman... fantastic. He had worked with the Coen brothers, of course, on The Big Lebowski.
Yes.
But is great in this.
They have their go-to at some point, so that's fine. I like when director do that because they know the strength of and these actors can play with them.
Speaking of actors who were in this and The Big Lebowski, we will come back to John Turturro and the character that he played in The Big Lebowski, the Jesus, because that character is about to make a very unlikely comeback, but more on that in Trailer Dump.
We need to watch that first one again. Or
yep.
One.
It's a very good film. Holly Hunter, I think, is great. All of the sort of smaller characters, the politicians that are running around, obviously... George Nelson, don't call him Babyface.
That was fun.
Michael Badalucco was just fantastic in this.
Again, the casting in this is amazing to see all these people play that well. I don't know if they were that inspired by Lebowski, because Lebowski was a minor hit when that came out.
Well, yes, but now there are conventions.
Yeah, and I don't know about the reception of this movie, but I don't remember this being a huge hit.
I think it was in a certain segment. Like, I know my uncle, who has always really liked bluegrass, absolutely loved this movie. And this was kind of a big deal to him that a mainstream movie featured this type of music.
Okay, this thing cost $26 million and made $72 million. So
that's a solid.
That's a modest hit. Yeah, that's a good investment.
Was nominated for Oscars, won Grammys, kind of set up the Coen brothers to
be
stewards of this type of story. Obviously, they returned to it with films like Inside Llewyn Davis, where they touch on this type of music again. That's a great film and soundtrack, by the way, also.
Which film was that?
Inside Llewyn Davis with Oscar Isaac.
Oh, nice.
So, I guess 20 years on, does this movie hold up?
Yes. The fact that it's a timepiece... A period piece on top of it is kind of interesting. A timepiece is it's a watch, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
A period piece kind of helps
a
it.
A dime
because
piece is...
That's a dime bag.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Oh, wait. Never mind.
But yeah, a dime piece is a very attractive...
Yes, yes, you're right.
...woman.
Yes. Anyway, it makes it intemporal because you're watching something that's happening in the 30s or whatever. So... As long as the quality of the transfer you've got is pretty good, this is gonna go down in time. The thing is that, again, this is very, well, culty. Not everybody knows about this.
Yeah.
I was talking about this at work and people were like, who? What? Are they? Are thou? Like, okay. Fine.
Yeah, I think both the colorization of this film, this is actually the first film to be completely color corrected digitally. So they take the movie from start to finish and they add this kind of sepia tint to everything, which again, it makes the film look older than it is, but at the same time, it kind of holds up the aging of the film a little bit. You know, sometimes when you go back and you watch movies that are, shot 20 years ago, you notice the way that they're shot, the lighting, the resolution of the camera and stuff like that.
The film stock.
Right. And you go, oh, that movie just looks older. It obviously wasn't shot recently. But this movie, I think, holds up well because it has this otherworldly quality to it. It's filmed and the colors and everything is done in such a way that it kind of takes you away from thinking about it as a movie. It's almost like a dream.
It does kind of have a surreal feeling with the way
it's
colored.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah.
Too bad half of it was in black and white. Damn.
For you, the copy that you found in your... in the shoebox under your bed or wherever.
Yeah, I mean, come on, Wing. You can spend the $2.
The movie wasn't there. It was playing. I wasn't to the music.
I picked it up at the library because libraries are great.
That they are.
Well, we would like to thank the Lobster Library for sponsoring Legends Podcast, yes. By the way.
Yeah, yeah. And believe me, I get my money's worth every day for my library card because it's free. So, I guess just takeaways from this film, if you were going to recommend this to someone, or, again, I think it's one of the lesser-known Coen films, unfortunately. I think Fargo and Big Lebowski get a lot of attention. What would you, obviously, like No Country for Old Men and so forth, but what would you say to somebody who would be hesitant to check out this film?
You like the Coen brothers? Imagine if they did a musical. You know what? They did.
Yeah, it's called Hail Caesar, right?
Oh God. You know what? That movie has a very bad rep. It's not that. It's actually entertaining. It's not one of the greatest, but we put the line so high for a Coen brother movie that
I think you do. And people forget Intolerable Cruelty and they forget a bunch. What, The Lady Killers, right?
Oh God, that was bad.
So there's a bunch of not great Coen brothers films.
Yeah. Hail Caesar is
I think this is definitely in the win column for them, right? Like, I think this is a movie that holds up well. I mean, something really that struck me was the KKK, the use of the KKK, the fact that he was the politician, and people weren't cool with that. That obviously was 20 years ago, right?
Yeah, well, Watchmen again.
Yeah, there you go.
That guy is in the KKK every time.
Yeah.
Mirror guy.
Typecast.
Right?
Maybe. Yeah, you're right. Dear goddess. I think we're ready.
I think that's what we need to say about Oh Brother.
Do you want to start and we'll be back up, or?
Yeah, how do you want to do this? Do you want to take lead? Do you want me to?
You can take lead.
Okay. I am a man of constant sorrow. I've seen trouble all my days. I'll bid farewell to old Kentucky, the place where I was born and rated this movie.
The place where he was born and rated this movie.
No, let's Wing. Never do that again.
For Oh Brother, We're Out, though, where are you going, Wing? Because you couldn't even fucking sing back up. You're going legendary.
You are my sunshine.
Legend of its time.
Hoo-wee. Boy, that was some mighty fine a picking and a singing.
Cult legend.
Hot damn, it's the Soggy Bottom Boys.
Awesome.
Hit a homer run.
Entertaining.
I detect, like me, you're endowed with the gift of gab.
Mayable.
That'll make no sense.
Forgettable.
Damn, we're in a tight spot.
You shouldn't have used that one there. Abysmal.
Run out of town on a rail.
Spring Breakers D&D.
Three Kings. Think about it. George Clooney leads two other guys, and sometimes a fourth guy, on the search for hidden treasure, accounting many strange and odd characters along the way in a movie that looks kind of washed out. Tell me I'm wrong.
So Ocean 11, you say it's that.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, there you go.
With the side of nostalgia, guilty pleasure, tingle, barf, tears.
I mean, with the side of the original, man, the Odyssey.
That's got a point. I'm going to give that a cult legend, and I'm not doing the accent. I promise I would not do the accent.
Damn, it's the Soggy Bottom
Boys.
This is always fun to watch. It's great. It's sticking to your head. You want to watch it again?
Sticks to your ribs.
There you go. But nobody knows about this thing. Nobody really knows. So this is an awesome movie that more people should know about, and that's going to live. So I'm putting it in cult legend. Beef.
I detect, like me, you're endowed with the gift of gab. I gotta go entertaining. I like this movie and it's enjoyable, but this isn't something that I absolutely love. It's cool to see Clooney in a really weird role for him, I think. It's because he's pretty much cast as far away from normal, except for the mm-hmm. Three Kings reference, I think, at least in mm-hmm. my eyes. But it's enjoyable. I like seeing Mirror Guy and the guy that gets peed on by robots. So, you know, all fun okay. all around.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does get peed on. Wow, I totally forgot that.
You're welcome.
He was in Transformers.
Yeah, and wow. Lobster, how do you feel about this?
I'm going to back Wing up, even though he didn't back you up when we were singing. Hot damn, it's the Soggy Bottom Boys. This is a cult legend. I really think that this film holds up well. It is definitely one of the Coen brothers' more fun and lighthearted films that you can just throw on and enjoy. Really, really love the music here. I have the soundtrack. Like I love this style of film. I love the... and really, I say style film, but there are really many styles of film represented here. One of my favorites is actually Oh Death from the KKK scene, and that's just a great film on it, or a great song on its own. But the awesome use of music to really set the time and place for this, the way that the film uses color and the cinematography of Roger Deakins to make you feel like you're in kind of a fairy tale, because it really is. I think more than a musical, this is a fairy tale of a film, and it's taking the story of the Odyssey and it's mixing in country music and Christian imagery and the Reconstruction South and some really interesting things and fantastic character acting. That's actually Mirror Guy singing in the Jailhouse Now, which it's, believe it or not, not George Clooney singing Man of Constant Sorrow, but Tim Blake Nelson does his own vocals, which I think is great. So
really,
this for me, absolutely, it is a solid hot damn
Mirror Guy.
Okay,
last word that on was... Oh Brother, We're Out Though.
Wing,
I didn't do the accent. I swear it, I would not.
Beef.
Tight spot.
And I'm a Dapper Dan man. Beef, what time is it?
News time.
Okay, here we go. So, box office, there are no surprises unless you count the rhythm section, which is the Blake Lively action movie from the James Bond producers that opened this weekend.
Wait a minute. I thought this was like a drumline.
Movie about music? Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Drumline or something.
Nope. Nope. It's kind of a Haywire, Salt. What's another one? Red Sparrow.
What a horrible name.
Yeah, so yeah. It's called the rhythm section, you know, the bang bang bang.
I didn't even read the story because I read rhythm section was a bomb and they said the movie was good, and I'm like, why would I read that?
That's... So it drummed up the the record worst opening for a film in 3,000 plus locations. So it made 2.7 million this weekend.
Wait a minute, didn't we just have that record broken like a month ago by somebody else?
Yeah, but when your movie makes less than $900 per theater,
that's like two dates and a popcorn.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Wow. Yes it is.
So this will be on video on demand.
Big bump.
By the time
I would say it's gonna be on Netflix tomorrow. Probably.
Yeah, by the time this comes out, it'll be on video on demand.
You probably don't remember, we did talk about the trailer a couple weeks back, and it looked good. Like, I honestly, I thought the title was stupid, but I'm like, this movie doesn't look bad. Jude Law is in it, I think. And
I mean, I'll check it out if it's at all good, but come on, people. Hopefully they rebrand it when it comes out on DVD.
Yeah, I mean, you need to have a title. If it's something that's not based on an existing property, and unfortunately that's where we're at now with our movie industry, so you need to have something catchy, like The Gentleman.
Even if it's Edge of Tomorrow, I still understand that. Right. For some reason, I am on the edge of tomorrow.
Right, it's a weird sci-fi name.
Right.
The rhythm section, if you're just reading it on the marquee, you're thinking, Drumline. Okay, is it a sequel to Whiplash? Like, what's going on here? Now, Whiplash, funny enough, not a musical term. But
fuck is Whiplash? What are you talking about?
Not my tempo. So Netflix is laying off a bunch of their employees as they're shifting their marketing strategy. Beef, what didn't they do this year?
Renew any of the Marvel stuff because they're dicks.
Okay, but, true. So they didn't have a Super Bowl release, right?
You were talking about that. Yes, they did not have a Super Bowl release, which I did not watch, but still.
You didn't watch the Super Bowl?
I did not. No.
What?
Two red teams?
The Packers weren't in it, and okay. WA started about halfway through, so.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Yeah, so, but you're an American that lived in...
Wholesome Addiction, you talked about Shakira and J-Lo, right?
Yes.
Did you?
No.
Okay. Because there's always room for J-Lo?
There is always room for J-Lo. And for... two women in their 40s and 50s with two kids, they looked pretty damn hot.
Oh, absolutely. And, I mean, all this backlash about their butts, it's like, whatever.
I mean, speaking of someone who's pro-butt, I mean...
Absolutely pro-butt. It's like robot, but just better, because you're right. Pro-butt.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of being pro-things... The biggest deal in Sundance Film Festival history was for a Groundhog Day-ish Andy Samberg comedy called Palm Springs. Wow. So this will be coming out at you soon. Comedy movie. Apparently it's pretty good, but there you go.
Okay. Great.
Yay, marketing.
I've got a bunch of Disney news. I don't know. Disney Plus is going to start doing some more unscripted series, including a remake of The Quest. Owen Wilson is going to be on Loki. And Disney Plus says they've hit 26.5 million subscribers since launch.
Oh, shit.
I mean, okay. Do you guys believe them? What do you think?
Of course I believe them.
They wouldn't lie.
It's Star Wars.
Yeah. Star Wars, Nostalgia, The Mandalorian, Loki, WandaVision, Falcon, Winter Soldier.
Bunch of people that subscribe for a year or two, like in advance, before watching anything. So it's more the retention that I'm curious to see. Like, how much of these people drop next year?
I mean, I'm paid up for 3 years, so it's kind of like, well, gonna own it for a while. So, speaking of watching things that come out in 2021, this is staggering when you actually think about it. Disney pays $75 million for the rights to the theatrical release of the Hamilton original cast. Now, this is the staging of Hamilton on Broadway.
This is cameras in front of a stage.
This
is the play that they've always done.
Basically. This is the musical Hamilton, filmed at the Richard Rodgers Theater with the original cast. And it's basically like the Fathom Events, where you go and you watch the play, the musical, on stage, on the big screen. $75 million comes out October 15th, 2021.
Yeah, but you guys are going to go nuts for this thing.
Oh, you were going to go apeshit.
Yeah, here you go.
And again, if you've not seen Hamilton on stage, solid recommend. If you have seen Hamilton on stage and you haven't seen it with the original cast, you're going to want to go see this. If you've seen Hamilton on stage with the original cast, unless you were a freaking millionaire, you probably didn't sit close enough, as you'll feel by watching this. So you're going to pay your $10 to go to the theater and see it, because it's like being there, right?
And if you're not American, trust me, you don't care.
Everybody give it up for America's favorite fighting Frenchman, Lafayette.
Sure. He has a French name. Great.
Okay. one more piece of news. Beef, you want to take this one?
Absolutely. My birth month is shaping up to be phenomenal. Not only do we have Westworld releasing on March 15th, now Castlevania Season 3 drops March 5th in its entirety, woo, I'd imagine, woo, anyways. So I will be mainlining a bunch of good nerdy anime. And Lobster, if memory serves, you were a fan, and Wayne, you too?
Big fan yes, of Castlevania. The series written by Warren Ellis on Netflix. Very good.
Do we
very,
know
very,
what we're getting good for episodes or any of that this year yet?
I don't. All I know is I put some art in the thing which Warren Ellis tweeted or posted on Instagram or something. But it's introducing new characters.
I see characters.
Returning favorites. It should be good.
Yes, I'm all right. Excited. Oh, exactly 1 month from recording. That comes out.
1 month from today. Yay. You guys want to jump on some trailers?
Yep.
Okay, so I've got the Rare trailer for a network TV show.
What are those?
I'm giving you Indebted on NBC starting tomorrow night.
Ooh.
Okay, so this, did you watch the trailers, guys?
I did.
Did you do the homework, Wing?
Yes, I did.
Barely.
Okay, so this is the long-awaited return of the nanny Fran Drescher and the guy from Wings and the guy from Happy Endings and the girl from SNL, who's Chris Elliott's daughter, Indebted.
This, I mean, this looks like there could be some funny parts, but if this isn't like an hour episode, it could get really, I mean, repetitive, I think.
Yeah, it's a sitcom.
I'm sure it will get very repetitive.
Yeah,
sitcoms do, I guess.
Yeah, but I don't see anything that new in there. I don't care. Sorry.
That's fair. That was kind of my reaction, too. I was like, I like the cast. I don't know if I'll be tuning in. All right, Agatha Christie's The Pale Horse on Amazon.
I am a fan of Dude, and it's going to be weird to take him out of being a Nazi, but this looks like weird.
So you're talking about Rufus Sewell.
Is that right? His name?
I believe it's Rufus.
Okay, well, him, yeah. I mean, it's cool to see something that's kind of weird and, you know, right up my alley.
I mean, we're into Agatha Christie stuff. Wink, I think you're going to talk about something close to that soon.
Yeah.
So that's going to be, I think, a miniseries or TV movie. Not quite sure.
I don't know when.
Sometimes it's not. Yeah. March 13th, my good man. Wow. The month of your birth.
Month of my hatching.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm going to say something horrible, but I'm not a big fan of Agatha Christie.
Okay. I mean, I think she's dead, so she won't be offended.
Yeah,
so.
Great. Okay.
Okay.
And if she's not dead, she will just pass right now on hearing another
She will just fucking die. She will die to hear
gone.
That.
Not
and
again.
It'll be a big, big mystery. Big mystery. Speaking of murder and folk music, Blow the Man Down, a TV movie coming to Amazon. Very Fargo-y. Margot Martindale is in this.
See, this is not my style. For some reason, Amazon seems to produce stuff that are not really my cup of tea.
I think they're muscling in on being the PBS of streaming, maybe.
Yeah. Okay, I like that. Yes, I think you're right.
Okay. Coming to Netflix. I'm sorry, Beef. Did you have a Blow the Man Down statement you wanted to make?
Yeah, it just feels weird. It feels like I think Fargo would feel.
Yeah. Have you not seen Fargo?
I have not seen the movie Fargo, no.
Have you seen the TV show
Fargo?
I
have not seen the TV show Fargo, no. I don't know why I distinguished between them.
Well, so that's funny. They're different stories, and then the TV series, each season is a different story.
Yeah, I think the last season, the last trailer we saw of season like 4, I was like, hey, I want to see this, and then it said it was Fargo, and I was like, oh, I guess I'll watch it.
Fargo. You will not forego it.
Fargo the far going.
Oh. Hey, coming to Netflix from the producers of Stranger Things and End of the Effing World, I am not okay with this.
It looks uncomfortable.
With the girl from, it's got the girl from It, right? She's
I knew her.
Which one was that?
Are you going to school? You want to get in the car, kind of thing.
It looks good though.
Not trailer didn't give you much, so I no, I get it, not being excited for it.
It looks 80s as hell.
Beef, next one.
Altered Carbon teaser trailer is interesting because they're just switching Kavesh, what's his face's body again.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they could do this forever if the story's actually good, right?
Right. So it could be an anthology series, just
actor.
Different guests. So the conceit of Altered Carbon is in the future, you can download yourself into a new body. You live forever in a different skin, right?
Yeah, and
so
I mean,
you change actor every season.
It doesn't sound bad. I mean, the first season wasn't bad, so I mean, it wasn't great.
It wasn't great.
Yes, it was bad.
Yes, it wasn't great.
Pretty bad.
It was still
free. In the first season. He was played by, the lead character was played by Joel Kinnaman.
The new RoboCop.
Yeah, RoboCop.
Whereas in season two, he's played by?
Anthony Mackie.
Falcon.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
But
you see, I skipped that trailer because I was like, I'm not watching this. There's no fucking way I'm watching another season of this.
You're going to see Anthony Mackie in the next trailer anyway. The Disney Plus Marvel Studios big game spot, which introduced us to our first real footage from Falcon and Winter Soldier, WandaVision, and Loki.
So what's with the WandaVision thing? Is this like the whole show like a bad trip, or is that just they have a bad trip episode?
No, she's a bad trip.
They're getting closer to the comic book character, Scarlet Witch, and I shared a breakdown video of these with you, but it talks about how there's multiple eras of television. You kind of have the black and white I Love Lucy, you have the Brady Bunch, you have the 90s, and then like the modern day, as well as they're throwing in the classic Scarlet Witch costume, and also Vision's back.
It looks fucking awesome.
And they possibly have children.
I think they're going to bring the children. It's like Wiccan.
Robot
and
babies.
Uh-huh. Spitting out their pacifiers. So we also got a look at Falcon and Winter Soldier. We know that it won't be an easy road for Sam Wilson to take over the mantle. There's going to be another Captain America introduced, the U.S. agent, played by Kurt Russell's son. And that's cool.
He looks
cool.
Good in that thing.
He looks like the great value Walmart store brand Captain America. It's totally fine. And then we got the very, very short tease of Loki, and then four important letters related to that.
Loki?
Yeah, related to Loki.
What?
So on Loki. His shirt.
What letters are you talking about?
On his shirt, there is a logo for TVA. It's kind of abstract the way it's shown, but in the comics, TVA is the Time Variance Authority, which is basically a bureau of time cops who police the timeline. And since the Loki series is implied to deal with time travel, branching out of...
Are they
going to
battle Bebo?
I hope they... I can only hope to see the Loki versus Bebo showdown.
Who's Bebo?
I truly... if you've seen Legends of Tomorrow,
He's
a giant teddy bear who wants to crush you.
Yeah. That looks a little bit like the Toy Story... not Toy Story, but Monster Inc. Big blue guy.
Yeah. Bebo is life. Bebo is wonderful. Yeah. Okay, guys, John Turturro is back to talk to you about Nazis.
You skipped the plot against America.
That's what I'm talking about. The plot against
that one.
America.
Shit. Sorry,
that has
I was
John
jumping
Turturro
ahead.
In it.
God darn it.
And then we're going to come back to John Turturro.
We haven't talked about John Turturro in
Turturro.
7 years on this podcast.
Yeah.
Go on.
That's not true. We talked about this news like a couple of months ago, and I was like, that never going to happen. And then that sneaked on me.
All right.
Never
My
so much.
Neighbor Turturro. So The Plot Against America, based on the novel by Philip Roth. Alternate history, Charles Lindbergh runs for president on an anti-Semitic platform to keep America out of World War II.
What the fuck is all great, this stuff
great
lately?
Great novel. God. But this is kind of cool to see, right?
See, I like revisionist yes. history, and I like stuff like that, and alt history, and whatever, but it's just, I don't know. Yes. I got to see where it goes.
You're okay with Nazis, but that you have a problem with?
No, because I got bogged down with the Nazis at the end, and the only reason I stuck in with it was because I had so many, I had 3 years into it, but like 6 years of viewing time. You know what
yeah,
I'm saying?
That thing was not good. Yeah.
The right. last season, they actually wrapped it up and finished it. I'll give this a couple episodes, but I'm just afraid that it'll... I don't know. Fucking TV. God darn it.
Fucking Nazis.
I mean, this is like... I mean, this is... Lindbergh was a Nazi, right? Basically, so...
Yeah.
So...
So... I mean, he espoused, fairly common at the time, anti-Semitic... views by fairly common I mean see also Walt Disney right so
yes. shh, they just sent us a cease and desist you fucker
yeah I'm pretty sure they did
they did a month of Disney minus and they said the racist thing
yeah and the only reason Disney made a movie called Frozen is so something else would come up when you search Walt Disney Frozen
yep Okay.
I didn't even... Right? Yeah, no. Hey, I get it now.
So, there we go. Speaking of John Turturro...
What the fuck is going on right now?
Let's bring him back for the Jesus Rolls, a sequel to The Big Lebowski starring John Turturro. Yeah, and this is also a remake of a French film, Wing, right? Yeah. Called Going Places...
Oh, good. That's a remake of Going Places?
Uh-huh. Am I wrong?
I was okay, so...
Well, it is to the Odyssey what O Brother, Where Art Thou is, okay, as far as I... Yeah. So...
We got to watch whatchacallit again before this. I'm done.
So, interesting
backstory... Because trailer was not much. Was like a bunch of titles, it didn't give you much, yeah.
So...
Yeah, okay. I'm not crazy. Okay.
What's interesting about this... is for the Coen Brothers film, the character of the Jesus as written was not fleshed out. John Turturro basically invented the character for the screen, and he decided he wanted to make this movie, so he went to the Coen Brothers and was like, look, I know you guys said you'd never do a sequel to Lebowski, but this character is basically mine, right? He was in your movie, but I created him. Can I make this movie? And they were like, yeah, sure, do whatever you want.
That's cool.
Nice.
So this is made not with the Coen brothers' involvement, but with their blessing.
There's not going to be any reference to Lebowski, probably like minimal. So.
Other than the bowling and the character of the Jesus that you're familiar with, but
I'm saying that you're not going to hear the word Lebowski.
No,
in this moment.
No. And they were not friends, right? Like not.
No.
Yeah. So. All right. So the Jesus rolls, Jesus takes the wheel. I love it. This looks good. Beef, you're on board?
I will check it out. I don't know about in theaters, but, you know, video on demand. It comes out on the 6th, so.
Sure. Yeah, so it'll be in theaters on your birth month and video on demand.
Woo-hoo! Oh, wow. Okay, now video on demand and theater at the same time?
That's what they're going to do. The Jesus rolls and keeps on rolling.
Rhythm section, wish it would have done that.
Bang, bang!
Oh, drum line. Shit, wrong one. Fuck, I don't know.
Ba-dum-bump, bump.
Yeah, there you go. Ba-dum-bump.
No Time to Die got a game day spot.
All these 30-second spots are pointless.
Yep. The Black Widow got a game day spot. Top yep. Gun got a game day spot. A Quiet Place got a game day spot. Mulan got a full trailer, I believe, during the Super Bowl.
That looks really good. The full
so,
trailer.
So, I guess... Running down this list, guys, is there anything you're super on board for?
Black Widow, I'll see, because that looks fun.
Top Mulan. Gun Maverick?
Ugh.
Okay, Mulan.
I'm not even a fan of the original.
So. Quiet Place,
Quiet
absolutely.
Quiet Place Part 2.
Abso-freaking-lutely. Yep. I might have to go right around my birthday.
All right, let's talk about the two what I consider big trailers, although the Super Bowl was kind of a letdown because we mostly got stuff we'd already seen. Spiral from the Book of Saw.
I was really intrigued, and then it became a Saw movie, and I don't know how I feel about it.
And I don't know if I care anymore.
I mean, if it's different, because it looks completely different, right? But it looks the same. So
yeah,
if
it looks like a crime movie trying to solve the Saw things that eventually
he gets trapped or something. But yeah, like,
right.
So that twist on it, I could maybe deal with if they do it smart. But otherwise, if it just becomes, let's push him into a pit of fucking hypodermic needles. Uh-huh. I'm not down with that.
Yeah. But it's got Samuel L. Jackson.
Motherfucking Samuel L. Jackson. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cashing another check.
Yeah, he had to say motherfucker in the trailer.
Chris Rock, and produced by Chris Rock, I guess.
I'm excited about that because I like his stuff. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So probably trailer of the week. I don't know if you guys caught this. Hold on. So I was flipping through channels the other night. And there was a hour-long concert special to lead up to the trailer premiere for this movie.
Wow.
What?
Of course, I had already seen the trailer online, but I watched this special, which featured performances by artists who do songs from these movies, and then the reveal of the trailer, interviews with the cast. So I'm talking about F9, the Fast Saga, so the next movie in the Fast and Furious oeuvre.
Have we jumped a shark? I think we're jumping the shark.
I think that the shark was jumped a solid two or three movies ago.
Yeah, but the shark was still fun to watch. From Hobbs and Shaw, they had, like, superhuman.
Yes.
Actual, like...
I mean, let's be honest, the rules of physics have been...
Yeah, we've been saying that. No, they don't work.
Mere suggestions in this franchise for a while.
I wasn't on board with it most of the trailer, and then towards the end, it started like, okay, it's going to be a while. You know when I bought in, when they actually were doing more like hand-to-hand combat and focusing on that, that's when I was like, okay, well, this is going to be
there. Because not only are they... awesome car drivers, they're also ninjas.
Well, you know, they're adapting the series again, but now with the fights.
Yeah. And also, so this introduces John Cena as Vin Diesel's brother.
Sure. Yes.
And he's also a world super assassin.
Who's the best car driver. At everything, yeah.
Yeah, he's the best at everything ever, and his arms are enormous. And it also brings back a long dead character from the franchise. And again, the hashtag Justice for Han is heavily referenced by the trailer itself, right?
It's funny because it's basically Justin Lin saying, if I do a Fast movie, this character has to be in it.
Yeah, this character has to come back.
Yeah.
And so Justin Lin stepped away from the franchise to do some other stuff and then returned for this movie.
Justin Lin stepped away from the franchise to do a Star Trek movie that didn't work and got back to the well pretty fast.
Yeah.
See what I did there?
It's fair. It's fair. So, again, this is setting up for a big summer movie, tentpole. May 22nd.
I'm not going to go see it in theaters, but I'll definitely check it out at some point in time.
I don't know. That bit at the end with the car swinging off the thing.
That did look pretty cool and stupid.
It looked totally dumb.
That's what killed me. I was like, okay, they're doing the Tarzan rope with a car.
With a car. No. I bought in right there. I fully bought in. But then, you know what made me buy in? It was like, okay, now I want to see how they land it, right?
Right.
You know what? I think I was done when they jumped the buildings. I think that was the last jump where I was like, this is super cool. And at the same time as we lost the other
Paul
guy.
Paul Walker.
Paul Walker, thank you. I think the franchise died a little bit for me.
He really grounded the series, and I think they thought, okay, well, you know what we can do now? We can do science fiction.
So. Yeah, because I saw 8 and I saw the spinoff, and I was like,
I don't think I've seen this. I haven't seen the spinoff. I don't even know if I've seen 8. Did we do 8?
8 is...
The Fate of the Furious. That is the dumbest, I think, of them.
Yes.
But it's also, like, got some really good character moments, especially if you like Shaw, or the Shaw siblings, I guess, or as you would put it.
It's basically why you come back these days. It's to watch Jason Statham have chemistry with other actors.
Yeah, yeah. The trailer for F9 has Helen Mirren in it, who's the mother.
Yes.
So.
Who's the mother of who?
Of the Shaws. She's mommy Shaw.
Ah. Okay.
Hey, did you see Hobbs and Shaw?
Nope, and I haven't seen Fate of the Furious.
Okay, all right. Well, you should catch up on those movies, and then... I would laugh my ass off if we did Hobbs and Shaw on this podcast. That would be pretty great. Honestly, for me, that would be pretty great.
We're not starting from scratch, but we could actually see where we were.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind throwing Hobbs and Shaw. I mean, we probably haven't done a few on here.
And, I mean, we're coming up pretty close to this franchise being 20 years old, so.
Ugh.
Do you remember when they were stealing VHS?
Yeah. When it was, we're going to steal VCRs, man, from back of a truck. Yep.
Yeah, I miss those days.
Yep. Fucking jump off cliffs. Okay, Magnet Plane. What have we been checking out?
Oh, man, spoiler-free reviews. I'll wait, and we'll double up on there in a minute. Okay, so still, I'm rewatching some Deadwood, but again, Avenue 5 came out. New episode of The Outsider came out. HBO is honestly killing it right now with everything they have to offer. And something that I know, Lobster, you checked out the first episode, McMillions.
Yeah, McMillions. Oh, speaking of heist movie, like this
for real.
I don't know. Like, yeah, this for real. So much fun the first episode. The whole bit with the undercover operation that they were running, filming the commercial, so good.
Yeah, I just watched this right before the show. I snuck it in, and it's definitely good. It has my interest, and yeah, that dude, the young FBI agent, was all about getting any sort of undercover going.
And so this is a 6-part documentary series, and I can totally see them doing a movie version of this, right? Like a dramatized movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because if it goes where I think it's going, and I honestly have been staying away from like reading about it because I want the documentary to kind of surprise me, I think it'll be good.
Wing, check this out. This is about the mill. McDonald's Monopoly.
McDonald's Monopoly scam.
Oh, cool. I already know a bit about that.
Financial insider, you'll be into it.
And on which platform you said this was?
HBO.
So this is on HBO.
It's on, okay, so what you call it, probably.
HBO Go.
It's on the home box office. So I watched a heist movie.
And?
I think I mentioned it a couple weeks ago. It's called Inside Man, Most Wanted. And this is a direct-to-video sequel to one of our favorite heist movies. And I say that for all three of us. Spike Lee's film, Inside Man, with Clive Owen, Denzel Washington, and Jodie Foster.
That old guy that's always a Nazi and everything.
Yes. Yeah. So going back to Nazis, this I will not spoil. It doubles down on the Nazis. It is heavily referential to the first one, to the point that in the film, one of the characters is a professor, and she is talking about a case study about the Nazi diamond heist. And basically, like, everyone has heard of that heist. Everyone knows the ins and outs and what went down. And this is a copycat. And the movie is also a copycat of the original. So if you are a fan of Inside Man, I think you will like this. They make some connections to the first film. However, it is very low budget, And by low budget, I mean they have like five characters who actually get lines. And they just use those characters over and over again, even when it doesn't make sense for them to be in that scene.
And there's also really no that part.
Yeah. Like, again, this is a low budget direct to video, I would say, knockoff of Inside Man. It does have some surprises and some fun moments. I didn't hate it. If you like Better Call Saul, the woman who, the blonde lawyer who is kind of Saul's
on again,
friend,
off again, girlfriend,
off again, yeah, girlfriend, is in it. She plays the lead, and it's fun. Like there are some twists that I enjoyed. There's some things that you definitely see coming, and it rewards you for paying attention. But it's on Netflix. I mean, it doesn't cost anything to check it out. So, and I also watched The Lion King, the new live action
and?
Version. It was fine. It was as good as the original because it's basically a shot for shot remake of the original. With
how do the animals things. Look?
They look like animals that are made in a computer.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's...
I mean, honestly, you get exactly what you expect with this. There was nothing that surprised me, if I'm being completely honest, because it just felt like the original that looked different.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Wing, anything you're checking out?
I've seen Knives Out. We talked about it a little bit before the cast, and we can't really talk about it until Beef has seen it, because this is the kind of movie that you say something.
I'll watch it this weekend. Stop it.
Yeah, so, it does. Yeah, but very good, don't you think?
It's amazing. I was okay. Very, very impressed. And you see this, and you're like, okay, this movie's subverting expectation. Oh mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the guy who did Star Wars 8. Yeah, okay.
And again, we talked about this in news a few weeks ago. This will get a sequel. A sequel is planned.
I'm
so
very excited about that.
That is cool.
Knives in.
And if you're, or spoons up, or forks down. I mean, lots of ways you could go with that. So the cool thing about this is if you are into murder mysteries and Agatha Christie and all of that, this film rewards you for your knowledge of that genre. And also, yes, does play with your expectations and subverts them. So very cool.
Yeah, and that's basically been it, besides a little bit of gaming, a little bit of walking, a little bit of dog. So yeah, not much media this week.
It's okay to cut down on the screen time for a little bit.
Sometimes you need a break.
Pfft, whatever. Next time, Legends Podcast, High Fidelity. That's gonna be fun. I haven't seen that in a while.
That's our concession to doing a romantic comedy for Valentine's
Day.
It's
a great
right?
breakup flick.
Yep,
it's one of my top five movie of all time.
It's one of the first five DVDs I ever purchased. Seriously,
top five. It's also getting a remake on Hulu as a miniseries.
Who the fuck cares? Nobody's ever
it
gonna.
It actually
touch
looks
this
good.
Adaptation.
It actually looks.
It does
good.
Look good. We looked at the trailer a few weeks ago. So
I read the book, and the book is just amazing. So. And it's weird to say about a music thing in a book, and it's that good.
Have a comment, question, or recommendation? Email us at legendspodcasts@gmail.com. That's podcasts with an extra S for Soggy Bottom Boys. This has been episode 458 of Legends Podcast. I'm Beef saying, we're in a tight spot.
I'm John D. saying, I didn't do the accent.
John the Lobster saying,
hoo-wee. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to leave us feedback, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Legends Podcast. You can also send us an email to legendspodcasts@gmail.com. That is podcast, plural. For all our contact information, as well as other shows, look to GunnaGeek.com. You can also visit legendspodcast.com, where you'll find our complete archives. The music heard on the show is Danger Storm by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at incomputech.com. The opinions on this podcast are those of each individual host and do not represent Legend Stream Canada or Gunna Geek. No infringement is intended.